Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
So we're working through this series called Start Right. We're in January. Let's start right. And so we've been looking at the Old Testament prophet of Daniel. And Daniel is known as a minor prophet, not because he wasn't important, but because the recording of his work is only 12 chapters. So some of the prophets, they've got like 40, 50, 60 chapters in them, and so they are called major prophets, and the smaller books are called minor prophets. It's just a term to organize them. And so we're looking at the book of Daniel, and it's about Daniel being carried away and set in this foreign land and how he lives and the work that he does as an Israelite, somebody following God, while in a completely foreign, ungodly situation. So kind of create this setting. Imagine for yourself that as a follower of Jesus, for some reason, one way or another, you end up being taken out of your home and you are shipped all the way over to India. And you are placed in some kind of job or service or situation where you are now living in India under somebody else's control, and you work for them, they're in charge of your life, that's how it is, and you are the only person who follows Jesus in the entire area. You're one of very few in the entire country. And just in case you're not aware, India has a number of religions at play there, but it is primarily Hindu. And the Hindu religion says there are like hundreds, thousands, millions of different deities. And kind of the one that is the most popular or most talked about in the Hindu religion would be Vishnu. And so you're there, and you're living in this area. You don't understand the culture. You don't understand the customs. You don't understand the language. You're learning. You're trying to figure things out, and you're trying to do the best job that you can given your set of circumstances. And you're there, and you're trying to follow Jesus in this situation while everybody else is leaning into their Hinduistic expressions and what they're doing, and everyone is talking about Vishnu. And one day, there's this new law that comes about that says if you pray to anyone other than Vishnu or one of the Hindu gods, you will be killed. For most people, that's no issue at all. But for you, you're like, oh man. But you know what you believe, and so you say, no, I'm gonna keep following Jesus. I'm gonna keep praying to Jesus. And inevitably, you're found out. And people show up and they take you off to prison. And prison there isn't like prison here. And they go to take you, to kill you, and everything they try just doesn't work. Everything they try just doesn't work, and you keep surviving, and you keep surviving, and you keep surviving. And eventually the people that are trying to carry these orders out, and even the people who had made the laws, are looking at you going, there's something different about this person. They're following Jesus instead of following Vishnu, but they're surviving everything we throw at them. And then something remarkable happens. The people that are around you start to go, well, maybe this Jesus is worth following. And then something even crazier happens. The law that was put in place that led to you being arrested gets rescinded. And then a new law is put in place saying that no one is allowed to speak ill of Jesus in the entire country. That seems a little fantastical, doesn't it? Can you imagine that happening today? Can you imagine that kind of situation taking place? When we look at the book of Daniel, though, we see this happen a number of times. In Daniel chapter 1, we've talked about that this month already. In Daniel chapter 1, he's there and they're give him defiled food, food that's against what he believes is right to eat. And he says, no, give me vegetables, give me water, and God will make me healthy. And he is proved to be true, and so much so that the person in charge of him is just convinced of it and just pours himself out into this way of living. And Daniel is then allowed to live the way that he feels is right, and he is catapulted into this place of authority. And then in chapter 2, we find that Daniel is brought in and that the king has a dream, and he says, you got to tell me what the dream is and then interpret it. I'm not even going to tell you what the dream is. You've got to tell me what my dream is, and then you interpret it. And everyone is freaking out because they're like, how are we supposed to do this? And Daniel goes to his friends and say, we got to pray about this. The solution is we've got to pray about this. And then God will tell us. And God speaks to him, tells him what the dream was, tells him what the dream means. And again, Daniel is elevated to a higher place of authority. And then, another time, we've talked about this month, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are put in this place, and they're thrown in the furnace, and they come out, and they don't even smell like smoke. And the king and the other leaders there are just blown away by this, and they go, yeah, the law we made was wrong. Chapter 4, starting in verse 34, we see this situation. It says, at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes, he was the king, toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the power of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me. For the glory of my kingdom, my advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, praise and exalt and glorify the king of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Chapter 6. Verse 25, after Daniel survives being in the lion's den, says, then King Darius, the next king, wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know what? Chapter 9. Verse 20, there's something else. Daniel says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Now, in case you don't get all that, Gabriel traditionally is understood as one of the archangels, one of the messengers of God. And Daniel is there, and he's praying about himself, and he's praying about the Israelites, and he's confessing the sins, seeking God, interceding for them. And Gabriel shows up, and he says, Daniel, when you started praying, I got immediately sent. God heard you praying, and I got sent immediately to get into action. We all have our own struggles, we all have our own challenges. We may not be living in a foreign land. Maybe for some of you, Canada is a foreign land. But we all have challenges, and we all have struggles, and we all have issues that we're facing. Many of them have to do with faith. And you may be in the situation where maybe you're the only Christian at work. And maybe there are a few others there, but it feels like you're alone at work. Maybe it feels like you're the only Christian at home. And everybody else is a little hostile toward you and towards your belief. You may be dealing with people who are trying to slander you, trying to attack you, belittle you, go on social media and make fun of you because of your faith, because you believe the Bible, because you want to take some kind of stance on something. Maybe your spouse is arguing with you about church or what you should be teaching your kids. Maybe you're having an argument with your parents or your spouse about whether or not you should be giving to the church or giving so much time to the church. Maybe your kids are starting to pull away. They don't want anything to do with this faith thing, or it's just that's not their thing, and you find that they're just being pulled and gravitating towards something else. Or maybe because of your friends or because of your job or whatever, you feel like you're being really, really pressured to endorse or stand behind something that you really can't agree with. Or maybe there's just some other scenario that I haven't mentioned. But you feel this pressure where you're trying to take a stand and you're trying to hold to what you believe and you're trying to walk this walk, and it feels like there's problems and there's situations and there's obstacles in your way, and you're like, how do I navigate these things? How do I navigate these people? How do I navigate these problems? How do I solve these conflicts while following Jesus? And it just feels like, how am I supposed to do this? I feel like I'm in a foreign land, and I'm the only one doing this, and I've got no support. And actually, not only do I not have support, but I have opposition. How am I supposed to survive this? How am I supposed to even stay on the straight and narrow in this situation? I feel like I need to correct something in that line of thinking for you, though. Quite naturally, in those situations, we feel like the thing out of place, when really you are the thing that's in the right place. You are the piece that's where it should be, doing what it should do. It's everything else that needs to be corrected. I think for us, there's a reality that we need to embrace while we're facing all these things. And by looking at the story of Daniel, when we look at everything that happens in the book of Daniel, I think there's a principle, I think there's an idea that we need to grab hold of and engage in our lives. And that's the fact that following Jesus makes others look in our direction. No, not in our direction. Makes others look in His direction. Because if Jesus is over there, and I'm walking over there, and people turn their heads to see where I'm going, where are they going to end up looking? They're going to end up looking in His direction. You guys know what it's like to have a splinter in your hand or anywhere. You know what a small, tiny, stupid splinter does to you. Right? You get a little piece of wood, or you get a little, you're dealing with a wire brush, and you have just a very thin piece of wire stick in your hand, and you don't even notice it, and then you go to touch something, you're like, ow, that really hurt. And you're looking at it, and you're like, there is nothing wrong. And men, you've even had your wives look in your hand and be like, there's nothing there. Why are you throwing such a fit? There's nothing wrong with your hand. You're like, no, it really hurts. And then you start digging. You get your jackknife out and you're like digging in your hand, right? And you're digging in and you're like, ha, see? And they're like, what? And then, see, there was a splinter in there. You know the pain that a little splinter causes. Just because it's small doesn't mean it has no effect. We're kind of like the splinter. We get stuck in places that the world thinks you don't belong there. And we end up causing some change. Doesn't take a whole lot of dish soap to clean a bunch of dishes, does it? Whole lot more water than dish soap. Unless you just really like dish soap and bubbles. Same with bleach or chlorine, right? When you go to a swimming pool, the swimming pool isn't 90% bleach and 10% water. It may smell that way, but that's not what it is. is actually 90% water, 5% bleach, and 5% but it's that little bit of bleach that has the potency that cleans it all up. Folks, you may be in these hard situations. Not maybe. I know you guys are facing these hard situations. I know it. Okay? And I don't know all the details. I don't know all the complicating factors. But I want you to think about Daniel and the influence he had on the world around him. Logically, rationally, there is no reason why Daniel should have had the kind of influence that he had at that place and that time of history. No reason. He was a captured slave from a foreign country, and he was affecting the king and the whole rest of the population. Imagine that you choose to stick to following Jesus regardless of your situation, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the risk, and people actually start to find hope and turn to Jesus and find meaning for their lives because you took the stand. Imagine the results if people actually have honest conflict and you challenge things and relationships instead of getting messier and more dramatic and messed up and just pulling away and people feeling more and more separated, they actually come together, figure things out, and have meaningful, long-lasting, healthy relationships. Imagine being at work or school and you stand up and you share what you believe about something and the culture has shifted so much that even though logically, rationally, you shouldn't be allowed to even share this in those settings, but everyone shuts up and they listen and they go, yeah, what he said, that makes a lot of sense. And you start to gain authority in these settings. And people actually start to listen to you. And the drama in your family dies down, down, down. Imagine if miracles start taking place. I don't know exactly how all this stuff is going to play out. But I see examples and I see guidance in the life of Daniel. And I believe that like Daniel, he followed God and that made people take notice of God and change things, that when we follow Jesus, it makes others look in his direction too. And when people start looking in Jesus' direction, they start to see him. And when they start to see him, things start to change. Imagine what can start taking place if we start to live like Daniel. You're not on the losing side here, folks. And this isn't about just convincing a bunch of people to believe in one philosophy or one political state or something. This is about people actually getting hope and life and meaning and love and endurance and peace and real joy. The things that are missing from people that they desperately need. Jesus is secure. So this is what we need to do.
This is what we need to do. Some of you are here, and you're like, okay, following Jesus, that's interesting, but I've never done that before. I don't know what that looks like. Well, one, if you're in that spot, the thing you've got to do is you've got to surrender to Him. You've got to say, okay, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to let Him determine the direction of my life. I'm going to let Him determine what happens with my past, what I do with my present, and where I'm going with my future. And you got to surrender your life to Him. That's step one. You have got to decide to follow Him. Maybe you've already done that, but you're like, I don't really know what it means. Like, I've chosen to surrender to Jesus, but I don't really know what that means to actually follow Him, especially in my workplace and all this. You start small. Start small. You're not looking for anything complicated. You don't need to sit down and wait until you have a vision about angels and come up with some kind of prophecy and be able to write it on the wall or something. No, no, no. Start small. You know that God values honesty. You know that God values people that are honorable. You know that God values people when they put others ahead of them. That's what you need to start doing. Those small, simple, clear instructions that are very clear in this book, in these words to you, that's what you need to start with. When you're given the opportunity to either lie at work or tell the truth, you tell the truth. When you're given the opportunity to cheat on your spouse or stay faithful to your spouse, you stay faithful to your spouse. When you're given the moment where you can either be filled with hatred and bitterness towards someone, instead you give forgiveness. Simple, clear steps. That's what you need to start with. You're already deep in that. You're already living that. Then what do you need to do next? The next thing you need to do is you need to start seeking Him out on the bigger things, the challenging things, things that say, you know what? I know that God wants me to change how I'm spending my money. I need to start being generous with it. I need to stop fighting for money and figure out how I can use my money to make a difference in other people's lives. Maybe you're in the situation where it's like you're in this relationship and you know this relationship is bad and you're and it's just detrimental and you know you're supposed to create some distance and maybe it's a friendship, maybe you're dating with and you're just going down the wrong path and you got to make some kind of split, or maybe you're in a job and you know that just continuing this job is going to destroy you and destroy your walk and destroy other people, and you've got to make that hard decision to walk away from those things or stand up and challenge it. That's the next thing you've got to do. And for others of you here, you've made those decisions. And what you need to do is you need to be really investing in your personal relationship with Jesus to be able to hear Him speak. And when He speaks to you and reveals to you what you need to do, what you need to say, to who, when, and that's scary, and it's risky. But He's saying, you need to go talk to so-and-so. You need to change jobs. You need to move. You need to go to this place and do this thing. You need to stop watching that, whatever it is, and you just feel Him stir that in your soul. And it's scary. You've got to take that bold risk, like Daniel. Because following Jesus makes others look in His direction. And so we need to follow. We need to follow Him. If you want to have influence on this world, if you want to have influence on the people around you, you can't just talk about Jesus. You can't just know about Him. you got to follow him.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.